your porch lights off because they're coming over the trophy.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by the legends at Dyson Logistics and coming at you live and loud from the Royal Moti Yacht Club Port Hacking. We are fueled by LGB supplements and we get our grass cut by Endeavour Property Services. I am one half of the podcast, Newman, and I'm joined as I am every week down here at the RMYC by my fellow Sharks fanatic, Sydney singer-songwriter, Fox Sports stats man, and all-round good bloke, Sam Shinazzy. How are you, Samuel?
Hey Newman, congratulations on the Sharks' 600th NRL win. Great achievement. We beat the Panthers. I'm loving life. Let's get into it.
You can get us at sharkcastpod@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at sharkcastpod. And the official records will read that the Sharks were very comprehensive in beating a good Penrith Panthers side, 24 points to 12. And we've been up, down, around and around the twirly-whirlies on the NRL rollercoaster ladder, leaving us in sixth position on 24 points, a couple of points away from the top. And certainly one win away from the top four, but the good news is we are miles away from ninth. It was a good win, Sam, a lot to like.
Sure was, buddy. I was a bit unsure how it was going to go down given their young halves and just lack of experience in that team. The week before against the Warriors, they threw it around, played touch footy, and it paid off for them, but this week not so much against a very experienced and clinical Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. Not a great opening for us, but we did score the first try through Sione Katoa and went on with a job, so to speak. It was close throughout. Val got that great try at the end, which blew out the score a little bit. Professional effort, I thought.
Yeah, it was great, and the big talking point was the form of Matt Moylan. Obviously, he was pretty psyched up for the game, and he was bobbing and weaving and ducking and diving, and he had his shoulder to the wheel in defence, and it was just fantastic to see. But the cherry on the top, Sam, was he scored a try himself off that great inside-outside play, and he set one up and just threw a dummy straight through the pathetic defensive Merrin, and then out of nowhere comes a flying Val Holmes, and that was just sexy.
It was sexy. It was a great way to finish the game. First try for the Sharks for Matt Moylan, 27th of his career. He made three line breaks, busted eight tackles, had a try assist. The three line breaks and eight tackle busts, equal career high for him in his 5 or 6 year career so far.
So it was definitely a career best performance, and it just shows what he can do when he's motivated and things click for him. So hopefully it's all coming together at the right time of the season. And I feel like we're building to something, Sam. I feel like we started a little bit slower than everyone would have liked, but I feel like things are clicking into gear. We're turning the corner. Every cliche you want to throw at it, but we're getting good at the right time of season.
Yeah, we are. There's still a way to go. We've still got, what, 7 or 8 games, some tough games, some easier games throughout. It's a weird kind of schedule for us. As long as we keep humming along, I don't want to peak too early, but as long as we keep humming along the way we're going, I think it's going to be a great campaign. We're hoping we finish in the top four. We play a few of those teams in the next 7 or 8 weeks. That'll clear it up, I guess, but it's getting interesting, that's for sure. I think they're starting to open people's eyes about, you know, 2016, 2018, there's a bit of synergy there.
Yeah, and people are starting to talk. There was no talk about us around the premiership, and now people are starting to talk. I've had a couple of mates say, oh, you guys are starting to look good and wouldn't want to play you and all that sort of stuff. And a couple of pundits are now starting to throw our name in the mix. And to be honest with you, the comp's there to be won, Sam.
Yeah.
I mean, South are in front, deservedly so, and they look good, but they're certainly not unbeatable. And the Storm are also up there. The Dragons, heartbreakingly, are on the slide. It just breaks your heart, doesn't it?
I can't go on. South's are clearly the favourites, and they play a really interesting brand of football. But you're right, the rest of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, Melbourne are starting to look good, and you think the Roosters will probably start to get better, but we're right in the mix.
Yeah, it's a good year to win it, that's for sure.
And certainly our mix of youth and experience, and with Luke Lewis and Josh Dugan to come back into the side, that's a hell of an addition. So, you know, we're humming at the right time of the year, and it's positive signs for the Sharkies rolling in to a match against the understrength Raiders. So there's a couple of wins in the offing.
Shout out to Aaron Woods, came off the bench, played 44 minutes, ran a match high 153 metres, made 20 tackles. that's two good games in a row for him, and he's going super.
Yep, seems to have slotted right in, and all the detractors who didn't want him, it'll only take two more games, and they'll be screaming his name from the rafters at Southern Cross Group Stadium. Another player I want to give a shout-out to was Edric Lee, another really good game. And when I rewind, I should have done some research, Sam, because we did our mid-season review episode last week, and I listened back to it and I thought it was good. But in preparation for that, I should have done this earlier, but I listened to our early season preview, and Edric Lee, you say on record, your wingers are Sione Katoa, so big tick. Well spotted there. You put your neck out because this is before a trial was played, so you got that one dead right. But and you had Fecky on the other wing, yeah. And then you had Josh Tuilagi in front of Edric Lee.
I did, and Josh is no longer at the club. No one else had Eddie in their team.
No.
You do make a fair point. Everything I say is on a record. It's on iTunes, Wooshka, everywhere for everyone to see. Subscribe, download, review for us, please.
Now, to pile some back on myself, I was clairvoyant in my praise of Scotty Sorensen. I said that he would be a star this year. He was underrated and nobody knew him. He'd see a lot of first grade and be very good. However, I did not have Jason Bikuya in my starting seven.
I remember that controversy. There you go. We win some, you lose some.
Hits and misses, feathers in your cap, black marks against your name.
Speaking of Scott Sorensen, what a great game from him. He played the full 80. He set up two tries. A really handy, in inverted commas, replacement for Luke Lewis on that right edge. Yep. And I thought he was fantastic.
He's a good player, mate. There's no doubt about it. And, I mean, he did that little... You know, it was great to see the inside-outside play again. We condemned it.
We saw it about 45 times.
We used to see it like 5, 6, 7 times a game. Remember Nathan Gardner used to do it all the time and just get barreled?
Poor little man.
And, you know, we had some great effect with Ben Barber, and then we kind of overdid it. But then it was back, and it worked.
It worked a few times.
Two tries off it.
Yeah, and I think Val went close another time. Rewind, Nathan Gardner. What are your thoughts now?
What is he doing?
I was a big fan.
Nathan Gardner.
No, but what were your thoughts on him as a player?
Okay, well, he's remembered right for that great try.
There are actually two of them. That one against the limelight. There was another one he went coast to coast.
Yeah, that was against Penrith. That was on the night of my 30th birthday.
Hey, happy birthday! I've got to say, I really enjoyed him as a player. Obviously, he played above his stature. He's a little guy.
Now, I have two enduring memories of him. Okay. I was at the game where he scored that try.
Yeah,
I don't think it is. And that moment, I actually started a blog.
Did you?
I did.
What was it called?
Let's go to the big boy. And
is it still online?
No. And one of my first posts was about that Nathan Gardner try, because we were winning the game by about 10 at the time. And then we at that point, if we win, we'd win by 2 or 4. We'd skip out to a lead and never, ever kick on with it. And then all of a sudden, you know, he does that when we're winning by 10.
Brilliant.
So that's what he's remembered for, that great coast-to-coast try. But I also equally remember him.
I know what you're
gonna say. Fast forward a year.
Was it the same venue?
Same venue.
I'm there with kick thing.
Yeah, I'm there with Damien Irvine, right, riding a roller coaster of emotion at the game.
Yeah. I was in the game, yeah.
And anyway, we're leading 18-0 against the Roosters. We're undermanned. We've got no players. And then the Roosters start coming back, and then things start coming apart for Nathan Gardner. He's dropping bombs, and they score off a bomb that he drops. He misses a one-on-one tackle. They score off that. And then he knocks the ball on in attack, and it's really coming apart at the seams. Then they put in a regulation attacking grubber.
Yeah.
And Nathan Gardner, in Nathan Gardner style, goes at it a million miles an hour.
Does he kick it or something?
And realizes about a meter from the ball that he can't get down to pick it up. So for some idiotic reason, he tries. Now, keep in mind, he's like 1 meter out of the in-goal area. So if he dives on the ball, it's Sharks' ball. We've got to run the length of the field, but it's our ball. Instead of doing that, he toes it through. Well, he attempts to toe it through. Yeah. Now, keep in mind, this is your defusing and attacking kick. The ball shanks off his foot.
Yeah, I remember.
Goes 20 meters across field, hits the goalpost into a Roosters player's arm who just falls over the line in amazement, and the Roosters win the game.
They win. It was like at the end of the game. It's funny when you said two enduring moments of his career. As soon as you said it, I hadn't thought about that second one for years. I knew straight away. Anyway, overall, I really loved him, watching him play. He was a really entertaining footballer.
He was a figure of the time, wasn't he? He wouldn't get a start in our team now.
Just too small. Back to 2018, Newman, and round 18. We talked about it last week. They were going to have to spread the ball because of the line speed. All our guys had kicks in play. Moylan was really good with the kicking force dropout, a couple of great bombs. Chatty, Wado, everyone had a kick, basically. And it works. Sometimes it works, and it doesn't. This worked. Good coaching.
And I got to say, Chad was good. I've been riding him, and I'll credit where it's due. He was good. He
people still are though. Like people on, oh, I know I shouldn't read things online, but they were still hammering him.
Yeah, I know. He's.
But I thought he was good.
You know, he's playing a tough position. Like he's not going to do something sparkling.
He was marking Kikau the whole time.
Yeah, I know.
And he missed a few, but gee, he tackled him as well. I mean,
let's not get too carried away either. I mean, I know I said we've turned the corner, but curiously, the Panthers had rested.
Yeah.
Their origin contingent, so they'll miss their 7 and 6. God knows why they rested Peachy, who only played 10 minutes. But they did, and that was their right. And I don't understand why they did it, because they're in a top 4 battle, and you think they need everything they can to win, you know, get points on the board and stay in the top 4. But so we didn't beat them at full strength, so we need to clearly say that.
No, but I think it was our second biggest win for like this year at least. So
it was a big 2 points.
Yeah. Yeah, and a tough road trip, tough time slot. We did okay.
All right, well, that wraps us up for the game review. We're going to cut to a break, and when we come back on the other side, we will have the news. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies, and with better service too, because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
LGB Supplements is the Shire's number one store for supplements and proteins. They have a wide range of supplements, including proteins, pre-workouts, and fat burners, on top of a massive range of exercise accessories, including boxing gear, activewear, gym gear, and water bottles.
Newman, it's free delivery Shire-wide and a price beat guarantee. Best prices anywhere. 10% price beat. The website is www.teamlgb.com.au. Just again, www.teamlgb.com.au. They're at Shop 6, 10 Waratah Road, Engadine. It's 20% off for Sharkcast listeners.
On top of that, they have friendly, accessible boot camps for all levels to shift those extra kilos. They have them in the Engadine area, and there's a boot camp at Woolooware coming soon. LGB, life's getting better.
To Russell, and Russell has been able to go through. He's put the kick through. How fast is the little fellow? He's leading the race. He'll score, I think. Yes, that's a try. Try for certain. Yes, he's given the try, and so it. And it was a clever piece of football by Russell. It was a perfect example of backs at the scrum. If you had watched them closely, they could have went out and shook hands.
Welcome back to the show, and now it's come to that time where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of the SCGS. the news, and there is plenty happening around the club this week, but it's firstly worth pointing out, we had an ad for LGB supplements there. If you go to the shop as it's listed on that ad, you won't find anybody because they've moved. Then their new address is at 1033 Old Princess Highway, Ingadine. That is 1033 Old Princess Highway, Ingadine, and that is upstairs from the Ingadine Pharmacy.
Newman, at our podcast's 100th episode party the other week, which was just one of the great nights ever, I had numerous people talk to me, punters, listeners, about the possibility of us doing live commercials.
Live commercials? Oh, we could if we're organized. What most people don't realize is we rock up with...
Easy, don't give away too many secrets.
You do a printed run sheet.
Yeah.
And then we just rip into it.
We do what we do best, and that's talk about the boys.
Yeah, it's conversational.
But I didn't rule it out to these gentlemen and ladies who were talking to me about
it. We could do it.
Open mind, absolutely.
We could do it.
Newman.
Yes, okay. So we had some lower grades results.
We did. And it's somewhat good news. Jersey Flegg, our friends, they won 48-12 over North Sydney. They're third on the ladder. And by all reports, a fairly decent outing.
Yeah, good outing. I mean, North's the strongest team in the world. But, you know, you can only beat who they put in front of you. And they desperately needed a win to put them back on the right side of the ship, so to speak. So well done to Dave Howlett and the boys. Newtown, disappointing, Samuel.
Yeah, they got that about them sometimes. 16-point lead, but ended up being a 28-all draw against the Bears at the beautiful North Sydney Oval. I watched most of this game, Newman. I had it on while I was working away like I do. I'll tell you who's standing out for me, and that is Braden Ueli.
Yeah, I've liked him. As you know, I've seen plenty of the Jets this year, and I really like what he does. He's a favourite of mine.
So, Sia Fecky played. I think it might have been his first game for the Jets. If it wasn't,
it was.
He scored a try. He wasn't overly involved, but he got through the game.
He played for them, actually. I need to. He played for them when it was the
Storm Jets.
Jets or whatever. He has played for the Jets before, but ever since...
don't tweet us.
Yeah, ever since in the last couple of years, you know, since he's been a first grade fixture, he hasn't played for him.
Young Jack Williams. Young 5'8 Jack Williams.
Jack Willie Williams.
He looks pretty good.
Yeah.
He's good. A little bit off
he's team tiny.
Where he'll be, but wow, he's got some skill.
Yeah, good player. They run some cool plays. They're fun to watch, the Jets.
Yeah, so 28 all draw, and they're also in third position. So.
Oh, great. Well, you know, the lower grades are all sitting in the top four. That's the sign of a healthy club. Now, the big news this week, Samuel, was there was a report in one of the...
SMH.
It was in the SMH that Barry Russell had met with a... Arab money sheik type guy, one of these oil billionaires, cashed up fella, and he owns a couple of franchises of all different sporting codes, plenty of cash to throw around. So immediately the reporter said, well, the Sharks are up for privatisation.
That was the headline, but the reality was Barry was there talking about potential sponsorship with the company, and... Of course, that led to the fact that, as you said, they own some sporting franchises. They want to own some more. And Barry is open to talking about anything, but he was specifically there for sponsorship. So hopefully we get some cash out of them.
Now, let's just cool everybody's jets here. The club, the board of directors at any time, if they have a private suitor, can go to the membership and say, look, we've got Billy Bloggs. He's got $20 million and he wants to buy a percentage or buy, you know, 100% or 40% or 50% of the Sharks. That has to go to a vote of the membership, and then the membership have to vote on that on its merits, which is what happened with South Sydney, right? And the board of directors are within their rights to do that. And until you start hearing rumours about the board of directors setting up a vote, there is absolutely nothing in it. And if Barry Russell has been able to get someone who's cashed up to have a meeting with him, you go to the meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's got a history of employment in sponsorship, Barry Russell, and he knows what he's doing. We're in good hands. He loves the club. Let's see. Maybe we'll get some moolah out of this mop.
Yeah, so now let's talk the hypothetical.
Sure.
Would you sell the Sharks?
What would you do?
I don't know. I'd entertain any offer on its merits. However, I am a big fan of the club being owned as it is, the ownership structure. The club is owned by the members. And so I would happily give away 49% if someone walks in and they got deep pockets. But anything above that that gives an individual an owner share, would you do it? You'd have to see a lot of benefits out of it. Let me put this to you. You win $100 million in the lottery.
Yeah, I've thought about that.
Would you buy the Sharks for $20
million? I personally would, absolutely.
You would?
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm a fanatic.
Yes.
I agree with you. It would have to be under that 50% ownership, so to speak, thing, because anything more and it can get into very dangerous territory in 5, 10, 15 years. You saw what Tinkler did at the Knights. They've come out of it okay finally after 3 or 4 years, but it's dangerous territory.
It was a disaster.
It was. But then you look at Russell Crowe, man has an obvious love for his club.
And that's been pretty good.
It's been pretty good.
But then you look at the Pens at Manly, yeah, which is a private ownership model, and that's a mess.
Yeah.
And they've had to tip their own money in time after time after time to keep the club going. And then the politics that plays, although Penn isn't the CEO, he's the owner. That's a mess.
I think given where we are financially, and yes, we still have debts and everything like that, but is it fair to say we're kind of in the safest spot historically as a club?
Yeah.
So that's a sign to me that we're traveling in the right direction. Obviously, there's a big complex down at the ground, which we're thankful for.
Now, keep in mind, though, that doesn't mean that it's a golden age.
It
just means that, relatively speaking, in some of the rough waters that we've had, we're probably in the best financial setup we've ever had.
And there has been some rough times, so maybe that's a little bit diminished in that storyline. But given the fact we're going okay, I'd probably just keep going the way we're going.
But if someone walks in and says, all right, I want to wipe the club's debt and give you $20 million to fix up the stadium, but I own 49%, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
As long as there's an out, I wouldn't either.
Like, heaps of massive clubs are privately owned.
Yeah.
NFL, you know, EPL.
EPL's where it's at.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely keep it as an open-minded thing, but you would need someone like Barry Russell there to oversee it.
The other thing is, too, if the club is owned more than 50% by a private benefactor, the benefactor can do what they like. So they can say, oh, we're packing up and going to Timbuktu.
That's what happens in America all the time.
Yeah. So anyway, that was a bit of a theoretical discussion.
It was a big headline is what it was.
Don't stress. It doesn't look like it's happening, but hopefully we can get, another good sponsor on board. So there's plenty of injury news getting around, Sam.
Yeah, so
Kurt Capel, our boy, broken thumb.
Broken thumb. We thought it might be a month. We're hearing it could be slightly longer.
I spoke to him, actually. I sent him a text. We text all the time now, me and Kurt. Good mate.
What's he like? Does he have emoticons and that kind of thing? Or smiley faces?
Yep, a lot of emoticons and a lot of the hip. So when he says, what about you? He just does WBU.
Yeah, right.
So you've got to be up with the modern day acronyms.
When Val texts me, he just straight says stuff. He doesn't use that little stuff.
Anyway, he said that it's his left hand and he's right handed, and so he's very hopeful to be back soon. But you know how enthusiastic he is.
He's an enthusiastic young gentleman. Had a good game too on the weekend in the semis.
Oh man, I want him to score a try.
Bakuya played about 16 minutes. I think, was it a shoulder injury?
Yeah, they said shoulder injury, went off and was unsighted, but
he's a chance of playing this week.
Dugan and Lewis, the injured brigade,
yep.
$300 million worth of salary cap on the sideline, remain injured.
Both your boyfriends.
Yeah, they won't be back. God,
Dugan's closer than Louis. Dugan may get named in the 21. We don't think he'll play. Louis is probably a few weeks away still.
Yeah, I know. Breaks my heart. I won't sleep tonight thinking about it.
I know.
Also, some signing rumours. Mm-hmm. Our favourite, one of our favourites. Mm-hmm. You are hearing, Samuel, that Joseph Paulo, Captain America, could be off.
Yeah, it's strongly hinted that he'll be going to the Super League, I think, for a 3-year deal, some decent cash. So if that was to happen, we would be saddened by it. But, of course, we would support him in the fact that he'd be supporting his family with a really good contract.
Yeah,
he would also tear it up over there.
He's got a beautiful daughter, and he's been on? Hasn't he been on 1 year deals for a long while now? Or
yeah, there might have been a 2 year one in there somewhere, but yeah.
And I'm telling you right now that it must be hard for a guy like him to go to work. And, you know, he's looking at the likes of Gal, Lewis, Dugan, all on big, big, big money. Like, these are guys that are earning $500,000, $600,000, and he's on, like, what?
We're not going to name it, but he's on more than you and I, but he's nothing like them.
That's okay, mate. That's a great living, right? But in terms of when you go into work with someone who earns five and six times that much, it must be hard.
Yeah, there'd be many guys in that position though.
Yeah, 100%.
There's only like 30 guys in the team and the big gap.
So you don't begrudge him any word on the club?
No.
Any word on which club?
I can't remember. It was one of the bigger ones, I believe.
Okay. He'll carve it over there.
Yeah. He'll love suit him. He'll love the attack.
Yeah. Damn. I love Joey Paulo.
Yeah, he's a good fella.
All right. Good so fella. Any other news, Sam? Ah, now, news.
Yes.
We're getting Flano. So
are we?
Watch this space. Don't know when, but we're getting him.
Okay.
All right.
Good to hear.
So does he know
I'm back on board?
Start sending
good
us
time.
Your questions for Coach Shane Flanagan, because we're going to sit down and have a long chat with him.
A long chat?
Maybe we could meet him Thursday night down at the club before the kids turn up, and we can have five or six schooners with him as he likes to do.
Or maybe he could look after our kids and we could just have five or six schooners for once. Thanks also to our friend Tim at the club for removing the chocolate machine.
That was a good thing, yeah.
That was a lifesaver.
Give Tim McAleary's credit. We asked him to remove the chocolate machine.
I wish for one week he'd get his name right.
We're starting to lose. The kids, they all play so nice in the chocolate machine. Someone puts a dollar in that. And
Daddy.
World War III.
Anyway, I can hear people turning off, so we're going to go to a break and we'll come back and we'll discuss some tweets that we got. This is Sharkcast Radio.
The RMYC Port Hacking is a true hidden gem of the Sutherland Shire with million-dollar views for the price of a beer. A world-class venue located on the western side of Port Hacking, it has glorious views over the boat moorings up to Bundina.
Open to members and their guests, you can grab a drink in one of the two bars, sit on the deck or on the lawn with the kids while they run around and watch the boats come and go. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and serves fresh, modern Australian dishes, local seafood, steaks, my personal favourite, Newman, burgers that are high on flavour and low on price. There's a full TAB facility on Saturdays. And, of course, the Mighty Sharky games are on live and loud on all the big screens. Don't forget about Friday Fishing. It's a hit with the kids.
And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free garlic bread. Get down to the RMYC Port Hacking, 228 Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or find them online, rmycph.com.au, or on Facebook as RMYC. The Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, home of Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
They are dancing in the streets of Cronulla even now. From Carrickmore to Sutherland to Miranda.
Welcome back to the show. And now it's come to that time where we see what the little Sharky who rips around the neighbourhood on a high-vis motorbike has put into the slot out the front of 1 Eddinghausen Way, Woolaware. The letters you can get at sharkcastpod@gmail.com or Twitter, Facebook and Instagram with the handle @sharkcastpod. So, what do we got? First came off the rank this week, Samuel.
We have one of our favourite and more loyal listeners. They're all loyal, I guess. But we have Lynn from Carrickmore, and she sent us a great tweet, and it says, top 8 is reasonably safe from here on in. What's the ideal achievable spot? Can we get to 3rd or 4th? And there's another question after that I'll get to. But Newman, what do you think about that?
I think we can finish first.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, we need a couple of things to go in our favour.
Well, we can, but what do you think is going to happen?
I think we've got a soft run home. You don't...
Softish.
Well...
Melbourne away, Brisbane away.
It's tantalising. Right?
Last three is pretty good.
The last three is really good, so we should be able to bank 6 points there. We should beat the Raiders, so there's a...
You say in top four.
There's 8 points in the offing, right? So let's say we get those 8 points. That leaves us on 32. Okay? And then if we can jag one of those... I mean, Brisbane, they're hopeless. We should beat them too.
Sure. Never do, but sure.
34. That's pretty good.
What would you do, this is from Lynn as well, when Dugan is back? Read the back line. It's a tough one. We're all talking about it. I can't even get to an answer. What would you do, Newman?
You're not going to like it.
I don't mind what you say.
I think you got to drop Katoa, put Val on the wing, and Dugan at fullback. That's the strongest team.
So Dugan at fullback is stronger than Val right now?
Yep.
Okay.
I think Val's actually a better fullback, but, I mean, then what else, what's the other option? You're either dropping Ricky or dropping Jesse Ramian.
Correct. It's a tough one.
I think that, like, Katoa's the weak link there. He's a great prospect.
Yeah.
But I think when our strongest backline is named, he's not there.
Okay, thank you very much, Lenny, for that. Now, Ashley wrote to us. We've already answered this one, Ash. Hope you heard it before. If you haven't, just go back to the news section. He wanted to know if the club was being privatized. So thanks for that, Ash. Now, Michael, Big Mig 81, one of our favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Chad and his form.
Yes.
To really make a mark in the competition, he needs to stand up.
Agreed.
Safe to say he's been a little bit hit and miss.
Mm-hmm.
What does he need to do to take his game to the next level? Do you think he realistically can?
No. I think, and this is one of the frustrations I have, is that he has hit the peak of his ability.
As in the past or this year, or what are you talking about?
Well, what we're getting out of him, we're getting consistent a level of play, which if they still had City Country, he'd be selected as the City halfback. He's not in Origin contention. He's a strong 7 out of 10. He's a out-and-out first grader, but he's not a rep-level half.
Was he playing better in 2016?
So much was... Well, it was different because it wasn't... He's got to do more this year because Moylan's not as dominant. And don't forget that in 2016, there's a fella called Mick Ennis who was running the team from 9, and there's Ben Barber.
So, and Jim Maloney.
Yeah, so...
Because my only argument to that is he can play better because we saw him play better in the past.
In this makeup of this team, though, I don't think he can.
And, okay.
You know, if he plays the way he did against Penrith, then I'm pretty happy.
Mick, I reckon
what
he
do
can...
You think?
I think he can play better, absolutely. I think that at times this year, he has been closer to a 5 out of 10 than where we want him to be, a 7/8 out of 10. But I think overall, I think he's steering them around pretty good. I think what he needs to do, as we all say, is run a little bit more and not just run for the sake of it, like pick your timing and run, and just work on those long kicks a little bit. But I'm a big believer in Chad, and I think that he can lift a little bit more for us this year. And you're right, Mick, it's important. Thank you very much for that. Now, Newman.
Yes.
All our favorites are writing into us. I love it.
Okay.
You're going to love this one. RCB, the great RCB. Now, he's a big believer in winning the most games you can, including the next 5 out of 7 at a minimum.
Yep.
Will we see young Flano before the end of the year?
Not unless there's an injury.
What is the key to shutting down Canberra? We'll get to that in the next section, my friend RCB, but thank you very much for that. Now, Maria would like to know how much the club is offering Valentine and for how many years. Now, we don't have a figure for you on how much, but it's a lot of money.
One thing that that frustrates me, and I'm not frustrated, Maria, but in general in rugby league reporting, when reporters say, you know, player X, let's say for the sake of argument, Valentine Holmes has been offered a $4.2 million deal over 4 years to play for the Cronulla Sharks. Now, that $4.2 million, does that include rep bonuses? Does that include premiership bonuses? Does that play number of games?
They're never clear about that, are they?
Does it play number of games played per year bonuses, number of win bonuses, number of KPI bonuses? Because NRL player's contract is heavily incentivized depending on where they are. Now, that $4.2 million, right, would probably be, I would speculate, if that player was to hit every single metric. So 3 State of Origin games, win the premiership, make the semifinals, win the minor premiership, you know, tick, 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 tick. And it usually doesn't happen that way. So they make a fraction of that.
You're right, Newman. We don't know about monetary figures. What we have been told by a very, very good club source, and we're not BSing you here at all. We never do, but this is for a fact. We've been told, and whether it happens or not, we can't guarantee you that, but we've been told he's going to be offered the most amount of money a shark has been offered, and it's we've been told for 5 years. It's been reported in the press for 4 years.
Well, we haven't been. You have been.
My source is solid, and I also might add that a chap who works for Triple M, and I think The Australian, was breaking this news on the weekend, which we broke 3.5 weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't know. Is he that good? As the
at the moment,
best,
he is.
At the best, the highest paid Sharks player of all time? I don't know.
I don't think we need to look at it like that. It's do you want to keep him or not?
I want to keep him.
Okay.
But I love our strategy at the moment. We don't pay overs.
You're going to have to for this guy, unfortunately.
I know, because like there's other clubs knocking the door.
Yeah, Cracker Sean. Thank you very much for that, Maria. Cracker Sean has written to us. We love Sean. We love Maria. We love everyone. Get in the four. Chances of minor premiership. Newman said it's possible.
It's possible, but it's...
You're not saying yes.
It's unlikely.
He's just basically giving us a description of all the other teams, and he's basically saying that we are a real, real chance.
Which we both agree with. I like South. Don't get me wrong. I don't disrespect South or
play
Melbourne,
really good.
But our team, we should be circling them and saying we can knock any team. We can knock them over.
We can beat anyone on a day. I think South's worrying me more than Melbourne at the moment, given the way they attack. But let's see how we go against them.
Well, we'll get a good idea, won't we? When we go to Brisbane, we go to Melbourne.
Yeah,
that'll give us a good idea how we're going.
Now, Chris has written to us on the old Facebook. And he said, how is Bakuya's shoulder? Is it true he's out for the season? No, that's not true.
He'll play this weekend.
Okay. Maddie from Townsville. This is way up your alley. I'm glad you're sitting down. Get your hands out of that garlic bread. Now, about that jersey.
The Kokoda jersey.
Kokoda. What do you think about the Kokoda jersey?
Now, I've got a strong record of saying I don't like any other jersey unless it's the traditional black, white, and blue hoops that Steve Rogers wore and E.T. wore, and that's my favorite. But I think for a special one-off jersey, that one is superbly done.
Okay, I'm going to shock you all, and I'm not going to offend anyone. I'm not a big fan of the image of war and soldiers on the jersey.
No. Well, you're a pacifist, Samuel.
That's not why. That's not why at all. And Matty is involved in that side of things, and we love and respect Matty, so it's not a shot at anyone. It's just not, I don't know. I think they're just taking it a bit too far these days with that imagery as a selling point, which is another subject.
Look, I understand that, you know, what the boys went through in Kokoda, like playing
it's
a professional
NRL,
sport,
yeah.
There's no synergy there at all.
There's mateship.
Yeah.
And we're not making light of it. Matty, you're right. It does look good. It does look good. And let's hope that we can win in it.
Yeah.
I believe it. Are we playing it this Friday? We are. Okay, yes, beautiful. Are. Thanks for that, Matty. And we had a really, really, really good tweet from Harry. And he said, I've got nothing to say. I just wanted to add this. And it's a YouTube link. So if you go to our Sharkcast Pod Twitter profile, click on Harry's clip. And it's a shot from where you were, Newman, a bit behind you in the grand final 2016 in the bay behind.
I think you might be able to see me even.
Behind the goalposts. And it's got the whole last minute. And it's just amazing because they're far away and they come up and they go right there, left, go right, left. And then Ricky makes the tackle. So watch that. That's on our YouTube. Thank you very much, Harry, for that. And that, my friend, is the very detailed letters section. Thank you, everyone, for writing this. We appreciate it.
Yes. All right. Good news, good news, good news. Okay, so we're going to cut to another break. And when we come back, we're going to have the preview against the Faders.
Hey, Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. It tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.
Let's have a look. He's got the ball. He's got the ball. He's got the leg out. The leg's out. The Sharks will win. The leg is out.
the Sharks will win.
The Sharks have just realised, looking at the big screen, there's a foot gone out. The crowd then resumed where they were a matter of 10 seconds ago.
Welcome back to the show. Big game this weekend. Another very valuable 2 NRL points up for grabs as we continue to charge towards the top 4 against our now very big rival team, the Canberra Raiders. 6 o'clock kickoff at the SCG. I know it's hard for people to get down here at that time of day, but hopefully we can pack them in, Sam. And they're a little bit depleted, the Raiders, but you know what? I'm like Michael. I want points. I want to win.
For and against, we're a little bit behind the other teams on the same amount of points, competition points. So I just like giving it to Ricky, and I like giving it to that mob. I don't like them. They've got a real attitude problem. I've got on record as saying they're the dumbest team in the NRL.
They are.
Their attitude stinks, and I really want to see us win this game. Yeah. For so many years now, it's been like, oh, the potential. Oh, they could string together 8 games. It's like they had won half of a good season in 2016. They beat us convincingly, but they were knocked out of the finals. The real premiers in 2016
the
were
cream
us.
Cream rises to the top.
It's going to be tough and physical. They got a pretty good pack, pretty mobile, big guys. But I really think that the way he played against Penrith, maybe barring the first 10 minutes, but the control that the halves showed over the 70 minutes of the 80-minute game, I think that that'll be enough for the Sharks with, you know, the forwards and backs doing their thing. Eddie Lee will be out to show them that, you know, they shouldn't let him go.
Yeah, 100%. And he's been bubbling on quite nicely there, Eddie.
Eddie, 3-year deal in Newcastle.
Yeah, I know.
Good luck to him.
Good luck to him. Yeah, look, they're depleted too.
So no Croker.
Yeah, Croker's out for the season, and he's their on-field leader.
He's their goal kicker, although the half Caesar does kick.
Riddle me this.
Yeah.
Croker, Jason Croker, right, always looks like he's on the verge of bursting into tears.
Yeah.
Do you think he cried when he got the news that he would be out for the season, or he just looked like he was going to cry?
He definitely cried when he dislocated that kneecap.
Yeah, wow.
Poor bugger.
Yeah, but he's their on-field leader, and he's always good for a try off a kick.
Yeah, he's a handy player. If he was in our team, we'd love him, I think. Blake Austin is the man to shut down.
Yeah, Blake Austin's the man to shut down. Who's the other? Jack White, and he's out.
Because he attacked 25 people at one go or something.
Yeah, and then the stand-in fullback, too, he's also out.
Nick Kotrick?
No, Nick Kotrick's in.
Brad Adderby?
Yeah, Brad Adderby. He's out. So they're...
Can I ask you, let's get political for a sec. Jack White, and I think it's not allegedly it happened. He, on his birthday, he had about 6 or 7 assault charges against him.
Yeah.
It wasn't just one. There are rumors that maybe he didn't start it, but whatever. He went bonkers. Other stuff, urinating in public. It was a big night out for him. Apparently, there's video of it. It's just horrendous. The NRL have locked it up, never to be shown. The Raiders, I think, gave him 4 to 6 weeks suspension. Yeah. And then the NRL came in and said 10 weeks.
10 weeks.
And then
crazy.
The Raiders are blowing up going, how could you do this? And then people talking about Mitchell Pearce. And it's like, well, if they ban Mitchell Pearce for, what, 12 weeks and $30,000 for dry humping a dog, but this guy went out and assaulted 6 different people, shouldn't the suspension be longer?
Well, I mean, Matt Lodge doesn't get suspended at all. And plays.
Oh boy.
So they're just all over the shop. Look, they're just all over the shop.
I don't rate Jack White. No. I really don't rate him. No. So I don't care that he's not playing. But
I mean, you can't. Newman. The NRL, they just don't know what they're doing.
Let's get back to the stats. Last 10 matches. The away team has won every match in this fixture. The away team in the past 10 matches.
That's a crazy stat.
So the Raiders won the last 4 here. We've won the last 6 there.
Wow.
We have won 5 of the last 7 against them. They are one of the best attacking teams. We are one of the best defensive teams. So our attack's fine. I think we're like top 6. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be like they're like the second best attacking team.
You know, without Croker there, without White, and that attack's going to come down a couple of pegs. Not going to say it's going to be rubbish, but it certainly won't be firing on all cylinders. To me, this is a game we should be looking to win, and you know, win not comfortably, but have a precision about us, have a ruthlessness, get into the game, turn the screws and win it on our terms. To be honest, if we lose, I think people will be irritated, and rightly so.
One more danger man for you, Jordan Rapana.
Yeah, always seems to play good against this big, strong body. Will he be up against Sione Katoa?
Rapana is on the right.
So he'll be on Eddie's edge.
All right. I'll tell you where we have to be strong, Newman, and we weren't that strong last week, and that is down the middle.
Yes.
Because where Rapana's going
to
run.
I think Paul Gallen being back to full fitness after being almost... He shouldn't have played, Gal.
Walking off, he can hardly breathe.
Yeah, so he shouldn't have played, but he did play. He'll be a lot better, and he plugs that center up better than anyone.
Okay. Well, I too, Newman, hope we win. I think that if we can stay mature about it and don't get into some sort of dogfight with them, and I don't mean the arm wrestle, I mean just the sort of cattiness of the whole thing. If Andy behaves himself and Gal behaves himself, I think we'll be okay. And let them do their dumb football. We'll play our sensible football, and I think we'll win by 8 to 12 points.
I reckon we're going to kick into gear here. I'm predicting a big win. Sharks by 28 plus. That's right. Now, got some rock and roll coming up this week. Samuel, I'm going to see the mighty Ed Cooper.
Really?
At the Heritage Hotel Bulleye.
You're really mellowing on me. So you got Ed Cooper, of course, former punk rocker.
Yep.
At the Heritage. Mm-hmm. You got the Church later on in the year at the theatre down south. Mm-hmm. What else is going on?
Well, I'm basically going to all these gigs at Thirroul Bulleye because I've got babysitters down there.
Yes.
So if anyone punk rock played down there, I'd be in seventh heaven. But to be honest, though, there's not that many punk bands that would come out that I haven't seen. You know what I mean?
It's Ed Solo, is it?
It's Ed Solo. Ed was in the Saints.
I know.
What about this one? Speaking of punk rock, Smash Mouth are playing at Thirroul.
Were they punk rock?
No.
What was their song?
You're an all-star.
Were they Walking on the Sun? Is that them?
Oh, was that them too? It was too.
Was it?
They had two hits.
That was it.
Wow.
Someone will tweet us if not. So they're playing the Heritage Hotel.
No, they're playing Anita's Theatre.
Anita's Theatre.
Smash
Mouth.
That's
too mature for them, I reckon.
That's unbelievable. You got any gigs coming up, Sam? 99% Sharks, 1% Rock and Roll.
No, I recorded a new song. You haven't told me what you think of it. I sent you an MP3 of it.
Oh, because I was trying to listen to it in the car. It didn't work. I haven't even listened to it.
Fair enough. Recorded a new song for a new film. The film is called Book Week. The song is called I Wrote a Book for You. And it's by our friend Heath Davis, who made the film Broke, the football movie from a few years ago.
Oh, cool.
So it's going to be in the closing credits. It's out, I think, in a month. It's going to be in all the film festivals. I'm really happy about it.
Does this mean that we might get a new Sam Shenazzy album?
Well, we got two songs recorded. I'm writing a bunch, so next year it'll have to happen. But we'll start working on it before then, yeah.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
And no other gigs? There really isn't too
Nothing
many.
Locked in, I don't think, for too me personally.
Many. I noticed Queens of the Stone Age are coming out. Look, if someone wants to go with me to see Queens of the Stone Age, I'd like to go to that. They're very odd.
Our listeners would like that.
They're not strictly punk rock.
It's cool if I don't come.
They're a cool band.
Are they?
Yep.
You like old mate Josh?
Yeah. He's a wanker, but I like him.
I don't care about his personality, but...
Tim Armstrong from Rancid.
Yeah.
Stole his wife.
That's right. The Australian girl.
Yeah, Brodie Dahl.
What was her band called? Or is called?
The Distillers.
The Distillers, that's right. Yeah. Stole or just...
If you believe the Rancid song.
All right, so their song is there. What do you think about Rancid?
Used to love them.
Now as a mature man?
No, do not love.
Yeah.
I used to froth on them so much. I even dressed... Was influenced in the dress, yeah, the spiky hair and the studded belts and all that. Yeah.
Okay.
Saw them at Skate Plus Caring Bar, Samuel.
You did not.
Oh, I did.
They played Skate Plus Caring Bar?
Yeah.
How am I not aware of this?
I think it was 1998. I had the T-shirt for years.
Who supported them?
H Block 101.
Anyone else?
No.
It wasn't our local superstars, Gilgamesh, was it?
Gilgamesh didn't play. Okay. I remember, like... It was like an all-ages afternoon show, and it was supposed to start at like 4 o'clock. And it didn't start till like 8 or something.
Was Trio booking that?
I don't know who booked it.
Skate Plus, what's they played in the rink?
They played on the rink.
That's pretty cool.
I'm trying to think of the other band that played. There was a couple of...
Did Jebediah play there once?
They might have done.
I think they might have had a few shows there. Trio's got
to
be involved.
Trio would have had to be involved. Yeah, so...
Okay. What's happening with that? There should be another Skate Plus. Like, what's
there
now? There's
still nothing there.
Nothing there.
It's just... There's a whole big... where the school
is... Who would
own
that?
I don't know who owns it. Where the school is that got knocked down, the old Carrambar High, which has been knocked down, that's vacant. And then the Skate Plus site is vacant. And would you believe they're going to put apartments on it?
On the Skate Plus?
On all of it. Shock horror.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
No. I'm running for mayor, Samuel. How do you feel about that?
I'm going to believe it when I see it, to be honest.
I'm a man of the people.
I don't want to, like, quell people's hopes, but... Carrambar High, you fit a lot of apartments there. As a former alumni, I can tell you, a lot of space.
Yeah. Well, have you seen how big the... Yeah, I mean, of course you've seen it. You live near there.
Mm. Did you know that I found out recently that my boy Valentino Holmes... I don't know if I've told you this or not. I found out that he lived, I won't name streets, in the street next to mine when he was, I imagine, playing under 20s or whatever, at a one or two bedroom apartment. And there was... Someone at our party, I think, was telling us. And when he'd like forget his keys or whatever, and he was so agile, he'd just climb up to the second story, like in and out of his house. I heard this story the other week.
Like parkour style.
Like what?
Parkour. You know that stuff where they jump around?
Yeah, like he's just that agile. Oh, I've got my keys, I'll go up in there, you know. But what about that?
I lived across the hallway from Bo Scott.
You told me this, yeah. What did you think of him?
He was a gronk.
Yeah, that's what I remember you saying.
He didn't want anything to do with me. And like,
was that when he was a shark?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. He was a terrible shark.
Yeah, when he was just coming into grade. And I was always keen to chew the fat, you know, about what's happening at the club. And he's just like, leave me alone. Are we going to win? And he was like, oh, I don't really care. That really irritated me.
I saw a nice story on him and his daughter on League Life, the Fox Sports show. I think it was his daughter or son. It's a nice, very heartfelt story. Seems like an okay fella now.
Yeah, matured. All right, well, that wraps us up for another episode of Shark Cast Radio. I think we do it right. You know what I hate about listening to podcasts?
What's up?
And the two hosts ramble before they get in to the meat of the podcast. They ramble about their lives.
No, we know better than that.
Like, people know that it's coming up to the end, so heaps of people would have switched off.
Oh, we were talking about parenthood at one point.
Yeah, I've listened to this podcast and they just, like, it took 25 minutes before they started getting in. They're talking about what they've been up to, their kids' birthday parties, what sort of beer they were drinking.
There's a couple I listen to and there's a lot of advertisements, like, straight on in. And I'm talking, like, 3 minute at a time, kind of like.
Wow.
Editorials.
I remember we started an episode. Remember we cobbled together an episode real quick and then we put all the ads at the start?
Yeah.
People blew up about that. Blew up.
I saw some criticism during the week of our podcast.
All right. Well, we'll see you at the ground on Friday.
Can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it. It seems like forever since we've had a home game.
It's been like 5 weeks.
As we say every week.
Go, you Sharkies. Let's beat those texter writing Raiders. Goodbye.
Time to see good football for the Sharks.